I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Howland. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Get on early, guys. We are starting at 9. It is 9 o'clock in Connecticut.
Yep.
The regular crowd is shuffling in. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And then at 10:05, Karen and Bob are back. And they are our artificial intelligence reporters. And they will take a couple topics and do a deep dive on them for you. And you'll hear what the AI folks think about certain technology stories. We find that funny. Mm-hmm. And so stick around for that. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. But as usual and customary, we want to talk about some technology news that you can use or cringe about like we normally do. It's mostly cringeworthy technology news we seem to find.
This one is definitely cringeworthy.
Yeah.
Microsoft put out a security update for Windows 11.
Well, thank you, Microsoft.
All right.
Always good to do.
It's one of these updates that just is best known by one of those KB article numbers.
Right.
Because it just contains a little bit of a security change.
Right.
A quick little patch to the operating system, and that's it.
Otherwise known as innocuous.
Right.
Minor.
Okay. Well, what happened was...
Not impactful.
When Microsoft... Yeah, right. Talk about impact.
Yeah.
When Microsoft provided this update,
yes.
It was somehow mislabeled by them.
Oh, no. Garbage in, garbage out. There,
and
huh? Yeah.
What happened was that third-party patching tools that are often installed on servers because you want to manage Windows updates and patches, you know, very specifically.
Otherwise known as vulnerability scanning.
Right.
They want these third-party patching systems want to make sure your systems are up to the latest date as possible to eliminate vulnerabilities, and that's what this little Windows 11 patch would be doing.
Now, servers are not running Windows 11, as we all know.
Right.
They are running Windows Server operating systems.
Right.
All right? But because this was a security...
A mislabeled
security patch.
Yes.
These third-party applications were installing it on Windows Server 2022 systems.
Yes.
Okay. Which, in other words, are very, very late model servers.
Right.
So they're usually in high production positions.
Right.
What's happened was that suddenly when it applies this patch,
yes,
the server thinks that it has been upgraded to Windows Server 2025.
It's been asked to update.
Right.
Right.
And it updates it.
Right.
Now, 2025 is a licensed product that you need to have licensing for.
In order to use it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So the computer applies the patch, restarts.
As now, 2025.
Right. And now nothing is working right because the computer thinks that it is not licensed anymore.
Right. And Microsoft needs to get paid. Come on.
And it stops what it's doing and it shows on its screen.
Right.
You got to put in your product key or your licensing information or whatever.
Right. which you don't have.
Right.
Because you didn't buy it.
If you own one of these servers, you've either got to pay for the 2025 upgrade, which is expensive.
Right, just to get into.
Very expensive, just to get into the controls on the thing.
Right.
And then you can invoke a way to back it off and then get it back to where it was. Mm. Or you can just restore the whole thing from a backup.
Thank you, Microsoft.
Yeah. And if you're thinking of what happened with CrowdStrike just a few months ago.
Yeah.
That's shades of that, only this is much more specific to 2022 servers.
Right.
An update. And it's just a dumb thing that they did when they released the update.
Right. And again, these people are not testing these things, right? They need to test them on their own stuff. So Microsoft, release this stuff on your own servers, unless maybe Microsoft's using Linux. I don't know. But release the software on your own
stuff. They do.
I know they do. And, you know, let you guys eat your own cat food, break your own stuff first before you send it out to the rest of us. Did CrowdStrike not teach you any lessons? It's amazing, right? So you literally have to wipe and reload your whole server because Microsoft released an update and your vulnerability tool said we have to apply it. Thanks, Microsoft.
Aren't they wonderful?
They're lovely. So we'll put a link up here. You can read the whole torrid story here. And it's just, you just can't make it up. I mean, just imagine if a Tesla did that. You're driving down the highway. Tesla gets an over-the-air update, which, of course, is not supposed to happen. But, well, who knows?
I don't know.
And all of a sudden, you know, it turns the Tesla into a can opener. Yeah? It was a mislabeled update, and now it just thinks it's a can opener. That would be bad, wouldn't it? In other news, I talked about this a little bit with Brian on Tuesday. Microsoft is very guilty, right? They're a very guilty company because they use computers, Dennis. And you know what the computers tend to use?
Programming.
They do, but how do computers actually operate or work?
They just follow instructions.
They do, but you're missing the base component of a computer. It's called energy. You got to turn it on.
Oh.
You know, you can't use a hamster and a wheel to run your computers. You got to use power. And, you know, Microsoft feels so guilty about this because they basically have cranked up their carbon footprint by like 30% since 2020.
Largely, what?
Yeah, just based on the fact that they are simply building data centers and you know, using all that concrete and steel. And now they're looking at ways to lower their carbon footprint because they just feel really bad about that. And they want to use wood.
Wood?
Wood. Engineered wood.
Okay. Wood?
Wood. Yep. So again, in an effort to reduce their carbon footprint, they're going to use engineered wood, which I guess is also engineered to not burn.
Engineered wood.
Engineered wood. Yeah, okay. They're not using 2x4s.
Oh. Okay.
But they're putting these engineered laminates together that we've all seen on this old house, right? We love those things, right? Bob Vila putting up big, massive things over there. We're like, wow, it's wood. So they figured they're going to use it to lower their carbon footprint. What could go wrong?
Well, hey, wait a minute. Lower carbon footprint.
Yes.
What goes into creating these laminated woods?
Probably a lot of
energy.
Energy to generate. Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about that, Dennis. Come on. That's going too far back. So we'll see what they do to make Microsoft feel better about the fact that they use energy to turn on your computer. So we'll put this out here for you, and you'll see how Microsoft's having trouble with their sustainability, as it were, when it comes to computers. Sorry, guys. When I talk about cuddling up with your computer, it was always to keep you warm because of all the heat that thing puts off, right?
Right.
So what else you got? Anything else you want to talk about, Dennis?
Well, we've got Outlook, which is one of Microsoft's
yes,
most commonly used products.
Yeah.
This is going to make you laugh.
Oh, I love it.
There is a strange crash that sometimes happens with Outlook now. Recent update, I guess.
Okay. A recent update causes Outlook to crash. That should be a normal headline, but go ahead.
Right. Now, it crashes
when
you try to open more than 60 emails at the same time.
60?
Yes.
Who is doing that? I mean, that's the worst use of Outlook I've ever seen.
It's bad enough that the product crashes, okay?
That's
but
bad enough,
when but... I read the story and I see that it takes opening 60 or more emails
I'd almost give
to
Microsoft,
cause the issue.
I give them a pass on this.
Bingo.
Yeah, it's not
I mean,
their fault.
Who is doing this? Who is doing this and causing us to know that this happens?
Awful. You're the worst user on the planet. If you have 60 simultaneous emails open, you cannot be getting anything done.
What reason would you ever have to do that?
You know why? They don't reboot their computers, Dennis.
Well,
people just open them and open them and open them.
They open, and they don't care. They don't know what's there.
It's amazing.
They don't pay attention. No. They never close anything.
No.
Because if you close something, you're going to lose something.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that's
crazy.
Just crazy behavior.
60.
Come on.
And the fact that it's even a story is kind of funny.
It was the 60th
email. That was it.
And like you said, I'm willing to give Microsoft a pass on that one because that's just bad user behavior.
Right. Other bad user behavior, guys, is putting your putting deleted email in your Outlook, but thinking you want to keep it.
Oh, yes.
Right? Lots of people use that as still a place to file email. Don't empty my deleted email, Eric. What do you mean? Your Outlook is a bazillion gigabytes. We got to delete something. No. I put it in my deleted folder. I do want to be able to look at it sometimes. It's like, oh, my gosh. So that's bad. You can't be doing that either.
No.
So we'll give Microsoft a pass. Yes, you heard it here. We do occasionally do that because
yeah.
This is nuts.
It is.
So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Two lines open, 860-522-9842 is the number. Helen and Hank, hang on. We're going to get to your calls after this quick break. We will be right back. All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are going to go right to your calls. And we're going to go to Helen first here. Morning, Helen.
Good morning.
What's up?
My problem is we have a new Epson printer, you know, the one with the little bottles of ink in it.
Yeah.
And I do have a new computer, but I have an old computer. It's an Acer, and it runs on XP. And I can't get anything printed off of that computer on this new printer. Is there a solution to this?
I hate to say it, but probably not, unless Epson has specifically produced a driver for XP, which I doubt they have.
Okay.
XP's been end of life for 10 years. I doubt Epson or anybody else is going to be writing code for it.
Any generic drivers you can try?
Well, when it comes to these inkjet printers,
no,
because they all have a very specific way of handling bitmaps and things like that.
Yeah.
And okay. I don't know. I'm not sure.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, I print a lot of cards, and I my husband got me the new Dell computer, thinking I could print my cards off of that.
Yeah.
But the programs I have are so old. One goes back to 1999.
That was a very fine year.
Right. And the thing is, I have 10 different card programs, and only one prints on the new computer. So. Well, anyhow, thank you very much. I kind of knew that would be the answer, but thanks a lot.
Yeah, time to upgrade your card software. That's the only choice for you.
They don't make the card software anymore, and the new stuff comes with all this all this other stuff besides cards, which I bought one of them, and it was like wasting $59.
Gotcha.
You know, it's frustrating, but I'll just deal with it.
All right, Helen. Good luck.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
What we could have done if it were a different kind of a printer is to use a generic PostScript driver and then create your own, it's called a PPD file, but a PostScript printer definition for that printer. But I am very sure that those Epsons don't handle PostScript.
Right.
So I think that's out the door.
All right. Let's move on to Hank out there in the United States of America, according to Kevin. Hank, what's up?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I just recently bought a new laptop, and it has Windows 11 on it, and I've never dealt with Windows 11 before. And I'm having a lot of problems every time I load a program. But I was wondering about File Explorer. When I open my computer, and my screen has four icons on it, four links.
Yeah.
But when I open File Explorer and click on Desktop, I don't see those.
That when you click on Desktop, all you're going to see is what's called the User Desktop, which will be on the drive in C:\users\your username\desktop. But there is a second desktop, which is in, it's called the public desktop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
that's located in C:\users\public
whack,
desktop.
Whack. Whack, whack, public, whack, whack.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
And when you're looking at the computer, it actually shows you the contents of both.
Yeah.
And if it sounds like you can have duplicates, yes, you can.
Mm.
And that's an issue that we fixed on the help desk.
A lot, probably.
Yeah, a few times anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can actually end up with the same thing in two different places, and then you see it twice.
Sounds like an improvement, a feature.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Because sometimes a computer, a program can be run as an admin at the system level,
right,
and sometimes at the user level. So you actually want this feature.
All right.
But anyway, it creates confusion.
Yeah.
But what I think that's what you're seeing. You're seeing the four icons that are in the public desktop, mm-hmm, that you don't automatically see in Explorer. It actually hides it from you.
Can he hide it?
Can he hide
the public
desktop? Mm. We can find a way to do that.
Maybe that's helpful.
Well, what I want to see is the icons that I see when I start my computer on the same place where I open File Explorer and click on Desktop.
All right. Well, that, like I said, there is no single place that will show that. You have to go to two different directories on the system.
Unless we can hide it for you. Unless we can hide the public or no? Will you still have it even if you hit it?
We can find a way to hide the public desktop if you'd like.
I'm still using Windows 10. That's why I don't have the answers, and Dennis has been...
Well, it would be a similar procedure.
Yeah, okay. But,
We can look for a way to hide the public desktop if you'd like.
And there's probably going to be shelves,
and then all
too
that you will ever see is what's in your user desktop.
Okay, that would be good.
Okay.
Have we had any customers ask for shells, Dennis, like Windows 10 shells?
Once in a great while, somebody wants a better shell, but...
Yeah, nothing yet.
Nothing that I would even recommend, because a lot of the other file managers are just kind of strange.
Yeah.
And they all have little features that are not even... Well, I mean... They all work in their own unique ways, and it's kind of hard to give you any hard and fast rules across them.
Okay, then I'll just have to live with it unless I can find a solution.
Well, like I said, right, we can find a way to hide the public desktop. That might be an option.
That way you're only using the one you want to use, the local
user.
Okay,
good. Then I'll just look for that.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you very much for your help.
You got it, Hank. Thanks for calling.
Yep, take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Yeah, I'm dreading upgrading it myself. I haven't done the upgrade to Windows 11. Dennis has been running it for like 6 months.
6 months?
Longer?
Yeah.
All right.
This laptop here, I upgraded maybe 2-3 months after it came out.
As the song goes, though, I got a girlfriend and things to get done, Dennis. I don't need to upgrade my Windows 11, but I'm going to have no choice. I'll update it to Windows 11 pretty soon. You're all going to have no choice because in October of next year... No more support for you, unless you want to pay through the nose. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to stick around, get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. A couple lines are ringing, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We'll be right back.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, here to 11 o'clock. And at 10:05, our favorite AI correspondents, as it were, Karen and Bob, will be covering a couple stories. So we'll have them coming up. But for now, we're going to go right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. Going to go to Hugh in Avon first. What's going on, Hugh?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I have been using Google Mail and Google Calendar for years. We've got it kind of hooked up with our family. And my laptop, which is a Dell and, you know, Microsoft driven, Microsoft keeps trying to install Outlook, which I've been able to avoid by canceling out, but now it's like I have no choice.
Wow.
It's two questions. One, should I cave and do it, or because there's some benefit to it, or how do I get around it?
That's amazing.
All right, here's what happened.
Yeah.
Microsoft with, you know, Windows 10 and 11 and even Windows 8 and, yeah, Windows 8 too, they used to have a product called Windows Mail, which was for mail. Then
right.
They had Windows Calendar, which was for your calendar. They even had an app called People, which was your contacts. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They have replaced all of those things with one product, and that is what they call Outlook New.
Right. New.
So those individual products right. that you had, that you probably had connected with your Google accounts,
yeah,
are now going away because Microsoft has decided that you don't want them anymore.
Right.
Even if you do,
they don't care.
I mean, they yeah. really don't care. Honest. Yeah. Well, at any rate, yeah. now they're replacing them
right.
collectively with Outlook New. So you would either have the option of going into your Google Calendar and your Gmail on the web.
Right.
Which is fine. I mean, the Google's interfaces for those things are just fine.
Yeah.
And you can just use them there in your browser,
mm-hmm.
or you have to use it in Outlook New. Microsoft isn't going to give you the option of continuing to use the separate apps. It's not going to exist.
Yeah.
So,
wonderful. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to interrupt. Is there an additional security risk by going in through the web?
No, I would think not. What you would want to do, hopefully, is to set up two-factor authentication on that. But that would apply whether or not you're using it on the web or even in the app, because when you connect an app to that account, you still have to use 2FA to connect it. So,
But Dennis, are you saying that it's going to replace his Google Calendar app?
No.
Okay, he can still use
it. It's going to replace the Windows app that he's
right.
using to get into his calendar.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't beat them. You got to join them.
Yeah. So you can either get a different front end, or you can just use the web and go directly to Google's, Gmail and contacts and all that.
Gotcha. Yeah. So if I do go to the Microsoft thing, like my iPad where our calendar is, that will still be okay?
Oh, sure, because that's all homing into the same source for the data, which is hosted by Google.
Right. That one.
And Microsoft can't do anything about that. They just can change how you get to it on one of your Windows computers.
Right.
And it appears they're doing that to you, whether you want to or not.
Right.
Well, perfect. You made it easy for a simple country farmer. Appreciate it, guys.
Well, wouldn't
not
it be
a
nice?
Problem.
I mean, wouldn't it be nice if they just didn't do this to us? I mean, this is
no.
ridiculous.
Oh. No, and like I said, if you're interested in security, get that 2FA going on your Google account.
You should.
And you should do that normally anyway, regardless yes. of anything that Microsoft does. And yeah. I think we have on our website already a link to how to do that with Google.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Mike G can post that on Facebook for people.
Okay. Actually, I'll just go to your site. That's been great.
Yeah it's there.
Thank you so much.
All right, you're all welcome, right. Hugh. Good luck.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. Yes, Outlook. And, of course, New, because you can use Outlook Classic, which is what I use, because Outlook New sucks.
And on the flip side, this has caused all kinds of havoc.
Oh, yeah, between which Outlook?
On the business side,
right.
because people that had Outlook Classic are now finding that Outlook New is trying to run in its place.
Right.
And it's interfering with their ability to get to their email because, get this,
mm-hmm.
Outlook new will not connect to an on-premise Exchange server.
Right. Right.
Microsoft's own product will not talk to its own product.
That's exactly Microsoft for you. And in the case of also Outlook
by
new,
design.
It is. Outlook new also won't work when you want to use a Proton mailbox. You have the actual interface there. There's like an intermediary that has to dump it into Outlook. Won't work. So you got to stick with Classic. So Microsoft, this is again how they force you, right? You talk about anti-competitive, talk about monopolies and all these things. That's, this is exactly it. You know, they're like, if you would like to use Outlook new, which nobody wants, nobody asked for, it gets dumped on you and you're forced to go back to Classic. Nothing like causing more confusion within the business world. And this is supposed to be a business operating system, right? We're supposed to make business something that you want to get done with Microsoft. And they keep showing you over and over again that they're not really interested in that, it seems. There's going to be Exchange 2025 coming out, guys. That's an on-prem mail server. And you're not going to be able to use Outlook new with it, probably, unless they change their rule, because still 50% of the mailboxes out there are in the cloud and 50% are on-prem. And there's lots of reasons. I had a guy email me and I actually shared it with the company. The email was exactly this. And I quote, "Dude, I'm paying $10,000 a month to Rackspace for servers. Is there any way to save some money?" And my answer was, yeah, on-prem server.
Yeah.
You pay for it once. You rent anything in the cloud, it's much, much, much more expensive and not necessarily any better. So it's just the same company renting their servers to you. So, Dennis and I could go on and on and on.
I know. Sorry.
So let's go to George in Windsor next. What's cooking, George?
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Good morning. I'm having a problem with my Facebook homepage. It won't, about a week ago, just went down and it won't hold any pictures or any kind of text from anybody that used to post there. It just disappears.
Have you cleared your cache in your browser? It could be something that simple. It sounds like your browser is unable to display the material. You may not have enough RAM or enough power on your computer to display, because Facebook wouldn't be specific to you. It's pretty much a global thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How do I do that?
Which browser are you using? Are you using a little Beach Ball, which is Chrome? Or are you using Firefox?
Edge.
I use Google Chrome.
Okay. You use Chrome? Okay, yeah. So we can put a link up there as to how to clear that cache. There's a few steps you have to take to clear that cache. It's probably been a long time since you've done it. And once you do that, most likely that'll take care of it.
Okay. Would it be anything else that could have made everything disappear?
No, there would be no other thing that I could think of as to why you can't see it, other than there's not enough resources in your browser to actually display what you're looking at.
Yeah, that would be it.
Okay, now how do I find this link, sir?
So you go to the name of the show.com, which is computertalkwithtab.com.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'll give that a try. Thanks.
You're welcome, George.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, clearing your cache is a good thing to do. It's kind of like, computer maintenance,
Yeah, and browsers used to be better about cache management than they are now, because storage is no longer at a premium, so they just let stuff accumulate forever.
Unless you have an older machine.
It can get in the way, because something can be saved wrong, and it throws everything off.
It does. You guys are really burning up the phones this morning. I think it's because...
All right.
Yeah, we're going to go on to MJ. Hello, MJ.
Good morning. Quick question about an iPhone backup.
All right.
Is there an area on the iPhone I can look to see what files are being backed up? And can I add or remove files from that group?
That's a great question.
So
you can back it up to the iCloud, right?
Yep. Yeah. Now, if you've got either a Mac or a Windows computer...
This is iPhone.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
Assuming that he's got his computer is connected to the same iCloud account.
Good point, yep.
That the phone is.
Yep.
There is a control panel or a utility, either way, that you can get into for iCloud, and it will show you the categories of things that are being backed up or not, as the case may be.
Right.
I would have to do that on my laptop?
Yes, you would.
Ironically.
Yeah, and I... There might be a way to do it in a browser, but I know that there are applications for it that you can get for both Windows and Mac.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, make sure it's the backup secure. You know, secure your iCloud account with the 2FA, and that's number one.
Yep. Okay.
All right, MJ.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So yeah, that's one of those things, right? The whole thing with the Fappening, as we talked about before, where those celebrities didn't realize all their naked nudies were being backed up to the cloud, and then the bad guys hacked into the cloud account, not their iPhones. They got into their backup account and then, of course, released all that information. So it's important to have a backup, obviously. You want to protect your data, right? But make sure you protect both sources of your data, both your iPhone and the backup. Same thing with Google Pixel, same idea. You want to turn the backup on, just make sure the account is protected so that if somebody gets into your email, your Google Gmail account, they have access to everything. So that Gmail account is pretty important to make sure it's turned on with 2FA. And make sure your password is a passphrase, you know, not some, you know, password like ice cream. Have it be a whole passphrase of 20 or 30 characters long, you know, whatever you got to say, you know.
Yeah. The other thing you can do, even if you'd like a shorter password that's easier to type,
yeah,
come up with a sentence.
Right.
And then the first two or three letters of each word in the sentence, you stack them together and you create your password. Because that's not going to be anything that's going to be linguistically reverse engineerable.
Right. All right. We're going to step up for a quick break, right, Kevin? Because you guys have been calling in because I guess Kevin's on the line. So I'm not sure, Carolyn, we may have to replace you with Kevin. we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. So Laura, Frank, and Raphael, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tam. Let's get right to your calls. Kevin's very patriotic this morning. We're going to go on to, who are we? We're going to go on to, I guess, Laura has been on the longest in Middletown. What's happening, Laura?
Yeah, hi. This is Laura Simmons from Middletown.
Sure.
Listen to all of the kind of criticisms of Microsoft and upgrading to Windows 11. And to be honest with you, my current PC operating Windows 10 is not upgradable. And so I'm just thinking of converting to an Apple Mini M4.
Nice.
And changing the operating system to a Linux-based system.
Wow.
So I guess I'd like to know what your feedback is on the Mac Minis and what version of Linux would you recommend?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't buy a Mac Mini and then install Linux on it.
You wouldn't do it?
No, because you're paying a premium. You're paying a premium for an Apple product, and then you're going to wipe Mac OS off of it and then install Linux on it. That just seems like sending good money after bad to me.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're gonna use a Linux computer, you might even be able to do that with that Windows 10 computer you've got now.
That's true, like Ubuntu,
and it might work better.
Yeah.
Than it does run Windows. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. So I would run Apple products on the Mac Mini, but I have a current system that's not going to be able to be upgraded that I would have to convert to Linux. So I'm actually following what you just said afterwards. So that would be my plan. So what version of Linux would you recommend for that obsolete
Windows 10 machine?
Microsoft, exactly.
Well, yeah. Number one, Ubuntu may handle it just fine.
Yep.
There's a lot of backward compatibility with hardware that's built into that. Mm-hmm. The company that generates it does a very good job with that.
Mm-hmm.
If that does not work to your satisfaction, there is a specific version of Ubuntu called Lubuntu with an L on the front. And that is meant for... it includes, you know, drivers and other things for even older products than Ubuntu already does handle. I ran a computer that was built in 2007 with Lubuntu. up until about a year ago when something must have overheated because the drive just completely failed.
Yeah.
And I think it because it was running hot. Yeah. At any rate. And it was one of these inexpensive little plastic laptops, so that's exactly what happens after all that time.
Yep.
But at any rate, it did that just fine with Lubuntu.
There you go.
Lubuntu. Very quick. It was 4 gigs of RAM on board, and it just ran really nice up until the hardware went bad. So I would try that, and I would keep it. When it comes to any kind of Linux, you're typically going to want to keep it as current as you can get it, but you have to look at your software packages and find out what they're compatible with. It sounds like you've got something very specific, and you may have to research which version of Ubuntu or Lubuntu. The numbers will be the same for both, and then find out which one of those you need, okay?
Hey, that's great. I really appreciate it, and thanks for your support as always.
All right, Laura. Thank you for calling in. All right, so they're on their way. Yeah, I agree. Well, I don't want to buy an Apple and then wipe away the operating system.
Yeah, you can get, for the money, you could get yourself a vastly more powerful, you know, just basic computer that you then install your own operating system on. I mean, much better way to spend your money.
All right, let's go to Frank in Springfield next. What's going on there, Frank?
Hi, I bought a Crucial SSD 4 terabyte to put my photos on because I brought a brand new computer and I figured it would be nice and fast. And the problem is a lot of times I'm on Lightroom and it can't find some of the photos. Oh. And then I log out of Lightroom because I put all my photos on the SSD and it can't find them. So I log out, log back in, and it finds them.
All right.
And then about 4 times this has happened, need to repair message from, I guess, Windows.
Yeah.
And I do the repair and it says, okay now. Mm. And then after a fashion, it, you know, can't find things and things are all messed up.
Right.
And so my question is there something I can do to fix it, or should I'm within the 14-day Best Buy window. Should I just return it another one?
Absolutely. I would be getting that to the store and get a new one.
Now, what operating system are you running, just to ask you that?
It's Windows 11.
Okay.
64 gigabyte.
Yeah. So it has no trouble with the geometry. Get a new drive and, take your data off of it, bring it back, and then get a new drive because it's telling you it's failing.
Okay. And taking the data off, it just format it? Would that?
Yeah, you could format it.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And then, okay, that is the question. Yep. I didn't know. Maybe I could do something to fix it, but why, if it's giving me this much of a problem?
That would make no sense. Yeah. Return.
You have answered my question. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Frank. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So we're going to be here till 11, and everything we've talked about so far has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you want to join us on Facebook, we are literally broadcasting our pasty white computer faces on the Facebook Live over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. Just ask to join. We'll let you in. And great folks there helping each other with their computer problems on occasion. And the links will be there as well. And if you follow us on X, Mike G's posting to both the Facebook and over to X. All the links will be there as well, so you won't miss anything. So follow us there. Like us, please. Share it out, please. That does help spread the word about our little program. And we do appreciate that when you do that for us. And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Coming up after the news, Karen and Bob, our artificial intelligence, will give you their takes on some of the technology news that we think that is interesting. We'll be right back.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.